I want to suggest that from this story, the scriptures that give to us all the wisdom that we need for every area of life actually give us three principles on how leaders should deal with matters of crime or of scandal in the world today.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, you don't have to look very far to see scandals and seductions all over the news today. And, you know, how are leaders to deal with situations like this?
Well, we're looking at a story where there was a great scandal under the reign of David, a good and a godly king, and there was a murder that took place. And David models for us something of how scandals are to be dealt with by people who honor the Lord. And there are some very clear principles here. David tells the truth. He mourns deeply over what happens, and he acts with justice. Now, these three principles, tell the truth, mourn deeply, act with justice, they're principles that we need today when dealing with things that are scandalous and that need to be dealt with in a way that honors the Lord. The Bible speaks into every area of life, and we're looking at a part of the Bible that speaks to an area we desperately need to hear and learn today.
So let's do just that. Join us in 2 Samuel chapter 3 as we continue our message, Dealing with Scandals and Seductions. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, we live in a fallen world, and every leader at some point in some way is going to have to face dealing with some scandal, some public event that the leader has to find his way through and address in a way that honors God. And we're going to learn how David does this and learn some principles from his example. The story first. Joab, David's commander, was away from Hebron, out on a mission when Abner had come to visit with David. And when Joab and his men returned and found that Abner had come to visit and that David had allowed him to go away in peace, Joab was absolutely furious. He says to David, verse 24, "What have you done?" Joab, you see, was convinced that Abner had come as a spy, and that in letting him go in peace, as David had graciously done, David had made a terrible and perhaps even a fatal mistake. So Joab determines, remember, he's the hot-headed commander, he determines that he is going to take the law into his own hands. And he sends messengers after Abner. Presumably, he sent a message in David's name, though David never knew anything about it. The message that was sent was, "You've to come back to Hebron." Well, Abner's on his way home. He receives this message that comes in the name of David. He has been received by David with grace. There's no reason why he should not return. And so gladly and freely he comes back. And when he comes back, he's met not by David, but by Joab, who sent the message. Verse 27. Joab took him aside into the midst of the gate to speak with him privately. And there he struck him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Now, friends, let's call this what it is. This was a brutal revenge killing. It was a cold-blooded murder. And it was committed by a man of the highest rank in David's army. It was the first outrageous scandal to hit David's kingdom. And the question is, how is this leader going to deal with a public scandal? The question that any leader will at some point face and have responsibility for answering. Now, I want to suggest that from this story, the scriptures that give to us all the wisdom that we need for every area of life actually give us three principles on how leaders should deal with matters of crime or of scandal in the world today. In two of them, David is a marvelous example, and in the third, we learn from what David failed to do. But three things that every leader must pursue in a public scandal. The first is tell the truth. Thank God David told the truth. He gives us a great example here. He states the truth clearly, openly, immediately, and without any evasion or without any attempt to minimize or airbrush what has happened. Verse 28, when David heard of it, so there's the immediacy, he said, I and my kingdom are forever guiltless before the Lord, for the blood of Abner, may it fall upon the head of Joab. Where there is a public scandal, rule number one, the truth must be known. And in this case, there are two things that people need to know. The first is that this was entirely the act and the initiative of Joab, who took matters into his own hands, as if he were above the law. And secondly, that David had absolutely no knowledge of this whatsoever. Rule number one in dealing with a public scandal, any issue of crime, truth must be known. Tell the truth without evasion. The first piece of the armor of God that is to be put on, especially so that we will stand in the evil day, what is the first piece of armor that we are to put on? It is the belt of truth. And what's the second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, you can't know what is right until you know and have established clearly what is true. And it was really important that David told the truth here, and not just part of the truth. Because in the absence of truth, people naturally draw their own conclusions and often jump to false assumptions. It would have been easy for people in the absence of a clear statement of the truth to put together, well, now Joab is David's commander and Joab has murdered Abner. That has to mean that David sort of winked or nodded and said effectively to Joab, go ahead and you get it done. And David says, no, you have to know that is not the case. And there is a clear statement of truth. Second principle for dealing with a public scandal. David mourns deeply. He mourns deeply. He really does. Look at it in verse 32. The king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. The king wept. At the grave of Abner, the man who had been seeking to take David's life for years. But there's no smirking from David at the tragic and brutal killing of his enemy. A great evil has been done. And David weeps when an evil is done to the person on the other side. See, telling the truth matters when there has been a scandal, but words will be hollow if the one who speaks them does not feel the pain of what has happened, especially if it is the pain of someone who was known to have been on the other side. But everyone could see the genuineness and the depth of David's sorrow over what happened to Abner. This was one of the things, actually, that brought people together. They saw that he wept even when tragedy came to his enemy, when a brutal crime was done even to one who had opposed him for so long and for years had been a thorn in his side. Verse 32, King David followed the bier. So imagine here the funeral procession and Abner's casket is being carried. And who's the first person behind it leading all the mourners? It's David. It's David. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. In other words, the king led the grieving nation in heartfelt sorrow over the brutal murder that had stained the kingdom. And the reason that the people knew that it was not the will of David to put Abner to death, the reason that this didn't get pinned on David, was that David not only told the truth, but David mourned deeply from the heart over what had happened to Abner. In other words, what the people heard in his words matched what they saw from his heart.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, the message called Dealing with Scandals and Seductions. It's part of our series where we're taking a look at the life of David. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can always come to our website and you can listen online. Our website address is unlockingthebible.org. Another way to listen is with the Unlocking the Bible app. It's free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through the website. Or you can sign up to podcast the program so you don't miss a future broadcast. You're going to find all those links at unlockingthebible.org. It's also a great place to go if you want to find out more about something we're talking about on the air, a thank you gift, or if you want to hear more of Pastor Colin's teaching. So spend some time at the website. Again, unlockingthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
David mourned deeply from the heart over what had happened to Abner. In other words, what the people heard in his words matched what they saw from his heart. Now, in these two ways, I think David gives us a marvelous example of leadership through a public scandal. But there is a third way in which David teaches us, not by what he did, but by what he failed to do. And that is that whenever there is a public scandal, you must tell the truth, you must mourn deeply, and you must act with justice. And while David gives us a great example in the first two, he clearly does not give us an example of acting with justice. So let's look at this. Verse 39, David says, I was gentle today, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, that's Joab and his brother Abishai, they're more severe than I am. The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. Now, I have to say to you, just to acknowledge, that scholars are actually quite divided over David's way of dealing or not dealing with Joab. Was he really wise and prudent in allowing Joab to continue as the commander of his army, or was this a failure in leadership? Well, let's take that question head on. What should David have done about Joab? Well, it seems to me that the words that David speaks right at the end of verse 39 there, the Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. In other words, I'm leaving this to God. These words would have been very appropriate if David were a private citizen. There are many places in the Bible where we are exhorted as Christians, where there is an injustice that is not resolved in this life, what are we to do? We're to leave it in the hands of God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. We're to trust the one who does justly, and we trust things that remain unresolved in this world into his hands. That's a principle that is given to us. And if David were merely a private citizen, these words, I think, would have been very appropriate. But David is not a private citizen. David is the king. And one of the biggest responsibilities of a king is what? To ensure that there is justice in the kingdom. And the question that really cries out at this point in the story is, will there be justice in David's kingdom? Or will there be some people who are actually above the law, and whatever they do, they actually end up getting away with it? When there was a brutal crime, a cold-blooded murder in David's kingdom, there were words of truth, there were heartfelt tears, but Joab was never brought to justice. And that left a stain on David's kingdom. And it also remained on his conscience for years to come. And I'll tell you how we know that. Because decades later, when David is on his deathbed, he calls his son Solomon so that he can speak his parting words to his son. And when Solomon comes, he says to him first, "Now, Solomon, you've got to follow the Lord." Then the next thing he says is this: "You've got to deal with Joab in regards to his cold-blooded murder of Abner." Decades before. In effect, "I didn't do that, son. I didn't bring justice, and a stain has remained on this kingdom. What I didn't do, you're going to have to do for me." It's the first thing he says after telling his son to follow the Lord. That shows how much it was on his conscience for decades that he had failed to do the right thing in regards to Joab. Why did he not execute justice? Was it that he had been so generous and gracious towards Abner that he felt, "I can't take a line of justice with regards to Joab, who is serving me"? Or was it perhaps more likely that David just didn't feel strong enough to take on his own commander? Was it that perhaps after being so strong in saying, "I'm going to trust the Lord and not trust in Abner, I'll delight in the Lord and he'll give me the desires of my heart rather than putting my trust in Abner," was it that after being so strong there, he found it more difficult to be strong when it came to his own commander and really felt, "If I don't have this man, I can't survive"? The New International Version translates verse 39 in a way that points in that direction. "Today, though I am anointed king, I am weak. And these sons of Zeruiah," that's Joab, "and his brother, are too strong for me." Well, whatever the reason, Joab's murder of Abner left a stain on David's kingdom. Justice was not done. And it remained on David's conscience for the rest of his life. Now, there are obviously many ways in which David wonderfully points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, like his grace bringing people together from all these different tribes. But there are clearly many other places where David points us to our need of a Savior, our need of a better king than David. And I think this is one of these places. See, David's been reaching out with grace to bring people together. But the question that we have at this point in the story is, okay, here's a kingdom where people are brought together with grace. Will there be justice in this kingdom? And the answer seems to be sometimes. And more for some people than for others. Which is exactly how it is in the kingdoms of this world, isn't it, to this day? You don't want to be in a kingdom of grace without justice. You don't want to be in a kingdom where forever people are able to commit the most brutal and violent of crimes and never be held accountable. You do not want to spend an eternity in a kingdom that is scarred because there is not the strength in it to exercise justice. We know too much of that in the kingdoms of this world in which we already live. So it's not surprising that you find Isaiah the prophet years later longing for David's greater son, the Messiah, who will establish justice, who will, in his kingdom, deal with every crime and with every sin and with every scandal. Here's good news when you struggle with injustice that remains in this world. No injustice will remain forever. He shall establish his kingdom with justice. Nothing that was kept secret will not be brought out into the open. Nothing that was covered over, nothing that was suppressed will remain as an injustice forever, because Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom with justice. And you know, he will deal with the sins and the scandals and the crimes of his enemies and he will deal with the sins and crimes of those who pose as his friends. There is a kingdom with justice. He will, we read it every Christmas, he will establish his kingdom with justice. That is good news, because you don't want to be in a kingdom of grace without justice, like David's kingdom. But you know what? You don't want to be in a kingdom of justice without grace either. Because that would be a kingdom in which there was no hope of forgiveness, no hope of redemption, no hope of reconciliation, and no hope of ultimate peace. So you look at this, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of grace. Is there any kingdom in the world that can actually hold these two together? Is it even possible to have justice and grace bound together as one? And the answer, of course, is yes, it is. And there is one place in which it is found, and that is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And here is why it is found in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because in that kingdom alone, at the center stands the cross, where grace and justice meet. Grace comes to us because justice came to Jesus. If you ask the simplest question about the Christian faith, why was it that Jesus had to die on the cross? You get this wonderful answer in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 26. Here's why. So that God might be just. God's not the God who sweeps stuff under the carpet. He always acts in justice, always has, always will. So that God may be just and at the same time, the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus, so that you do not have to live forever with the just consequences of your sins or crimes or scandals. In Jesus Christ, there is not only justice because of what came to him on the cross, there is grace and there is mercy before God for you, inasmuch as by faith you are in him. The stroke of justice fell on Jesus so that the gift of grace may come to all of us.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And really a helpful look today at how David points us to Jesus and shows us our need of Jesus. Our message is called Dealing with Scandals and Seductions. And it's part of a series where we're looking at the life of David. If you want to find out more about this series or maybe order a copy for yourself on CD, just come to our website. It's unlockingthebible.org. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported broadcast, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy of a Christian classic. It's written by John Bunyan. It's called Pilgrim's Progress, and Colin, I hear that this is one of your favorite books.
It absolutely is. In fact, if I was stranded on a desert island and I was only allowed to take one book apart from the Bible, of course, then my choice would definitely be John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress.
Wow.
And here's why. If you've got one book besides the Bible, you would want to have something that was enjoyable, compelling. You'd want to have something that you would keep coming back to, and you'd want to have something that did you lasting good. And John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress has fulfilled all of these things in my life. It really is a treasured book. And I'm absolutely delighted that we are able to offer this month a beautifully bound edition of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress in Modern English. It is a book that you will treasure, and every Christian home ought to have a copy.
Well, we want to send you a copy. It's our way of saying thanks for your financial support this month. You can give your gift online at unlockingthebible.org or call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 1-866-865-6253, or again, unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. Unlocking the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Does the end justify the means in the kingdom of God? Find out on the next Unlocking the Bible.